It's Deprogrammed, the podcast where we try to get you into an artist. We've done all the work for you. All you have to do is push play. Hey, I think I got it right that time. Wowzers McTavish.
Proud of you.
It was bound to happen one of these days, right?
Dynamite drop it, Monty.
Yeah. So let me say this. Hard work works. Download the app. You get 2 free weeks currently, and it's... If after those 2 weeks you decide you want to stay on, it's only $10 a month. Work out wherever, whenever, and get your own workouts designed for the equipment that you have by Coach Joe, a lovely human being. Hard work works. And that's the Hard Work Works fitness app. Hashtag join the hustle. I'm sorry it's not a great sell, Joe.
Actually, let me just add, for I can't go to my gym right now, and I would love to have something like that in my life because I am like losing it. Right now, I feel like I'm just fat and gross and worthless, and I would love to have something like that in my life.
So you're gaining it. You're not losing it. You're gaining it.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Sorry.
Download the
app. Yeah, it actually sounds like a pretty awesome setup.
Download the app.
Yeah.
And you get workouts based on whatever equipment you have. So if you're like me, you have no kind of equipment at home. Everything's all body weight workouts. And so get your fitness on during these trying times since I can't offer you a nice egg. Hashtag join the hustle. Today we're talking about Arcade Fire. It's been a long time coming. But the world went to shit, and so I was like, well, since the world went to shit, maybe you guys want to do this now? So I'm joined by the voices you already heard, Brian.
Hello.
And Sarah.
Hi.
And the cat.
Yes.
More importantly, the cat.
We might get the privilege of seeing his butthole. You, however, dear listeners, I apologize. You may not.
That's a teaser right there.
I know, right?
It's just like you may imagine. He's orange. He's an orange cat. So just imagine a fluffy orange butthole and you're good.
Oh, man. You know what? There's a joke there about a certain person in a certain office, but I'm going to leave it. All right. So I believe Arcade Fire was your idea, Sarah. I think you put them up on the table.
Yeah, that sounds like something I do. Arcade Fire is one of those bands that I stumbled into. It hadn't hit my radar for whatever reason at the time when they were sort of ramping up with their touring. I was deep in the throes of working in a newsroom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And a friend of mine had concert tickets, and his date or friend or whoever was going to go with him bailed, and he offered them to me. He offered for me to go with them, and I said, yeah, sure. I had no knowledge of them, and this is before, I mean, there was Pandora, but there wasn't Spotify, so you couldn't, like, tell, oh, there it is, look, there's the orange butt.
Yeah, there it is.
But I'm sorry, non-Skype listeners. I went with him, and I'd heard a few songs here and there, you know, the singles at the time, and it was just amazing. And ever since then, I've seen them live, I don't know, 5-6 more times at various festivals and shows, and it's just such a refreshing, I don't know, there's something for every stage, I feel like, in my life that I've had since I discovered them.
Oh, all right, so there's some deep personal connection here. Now, Brian, like, I will say, listening to this, I did hear some of your influence, but walk me through what Arcade Fire means to you.
I was not a fan at all. This is when I was going through my phase when I hated modern music. I was like, nothing. Everything, the classics are the only way to go. Then I joined The Gloom, and Phil from The Gloom got me into them. And I think right before The Suburbs came out. So I'm like, I'm not early to the game on this. Usually I'm like Mr. Hipster about things. I liked them before they were cool, but I liked them way after they were cool. But I mean, I'm gonna tell two stories on this that are really fucking deep and personal, so they really tug at my heartstrings for sure.
Well, so this makes me really happy that there's so much personal meaning for the both of you, because Arcade Fire is one of these bands for me that was barely even on the radar, because honestly, even listening, other than like a few like notes here and there, I don't really remember hearing them on the radio.
I think I heard Wake Up on the trailer for Where the Wild Things Are.
Yep, that's it. That was probably the biggest mainstream single they had.
Yeah, and I was like, this is okay. And then I heard the album version, which was not edited like the trailer was. I was like, eh, I don't like it as much. And then, like I said, Phil got me into them, and then they met the approval of the two Davids, David Bowie and David Byrne. I'm like, okay, I'm in. If they like them, then I'm in. Well, and the rest is history, as they say.
It's funny you mentioned hearing Wake Up. Wake Up is probably the only song I knew going in, and the only reason I knew that was it used to be every Friday at the end of the Dan Patrick show, he would play it just before what we learned today as they were getting ready to wrap the show. And at some point, someone asked them what it was, and he said, oh, it's Cue the Arcade Fire. And that's the only, other than hearing their name, the only time I've ever heard anything by them. So the fact that you guys have such a personal attachment here, it makes me really happy, because again, I don't have much to offer to the conversation other than what I was able to learn by listening to them. So let's walk through, Sarah, what it was like putting the year 20 together for this episode.
So Arcade Fire, because I was introduced to them in a live show, weirdly, it was the first band that made me really respect a sound designer, like the audio engineers and the sound designers, because the band is so dynamic and there's so many moving parts, and they can't just like pick a mic, pick an instrument, you know, like pick an arrangement and then let it go. Like there has to be sort of constant moving. And then of course it changes, and they have all these sort of interactive elements as well, depending on the show, I'm sure. But going through the different albums, there were some that just didn't hit as hard for me. And I was a evangelist for The Suburbs, and that was like my jam, because I think I came in about the same time you did, Brian, it was right before the release. And then when that album came out, I was like, this is my Bible. This is my anthem. And then I didn't love the subsequent releases as much. And it had been a while since I gave them just a good, thorough listen to all their discography. And going back through, I thought I would have a lot more on the Suburbs album than I did. And I it's pretty balanced, which kind of surprises me, because I thought it would be. Now, I will say, though, I listened to it in reverse order.
Oh, okay.
Because, like I said, the earlier stuff I really was super attached to. So I went backwards. So to make sure that I gave it like enough consideration, because I thought the further back I get, the more familiar I'll be. Mm-hmm. So that might be why. But it was interesting to me. Some of that I felt like I rediscovered.
All right. So, Brian, what was it like for your 20? You didn't seem as angry this time.
It wasn't easy. This show never is. But it honestly came down to what songs from The Suburbs am I going to like not die if I don't have on this list? Because The Suburbs is, I know a lot of their fans are like, Funeral is their best record, but I wholeheartedly disagree. Funeral is a fantastic record, but The Suburbs is so fucking personal to me. They made an entire album out of the greatness of No Cars Go as a song. The whole fucking album is that song as a feeling and emotion, and I love it so much. And basically I was just like, what songs from this album can I live without? And I actually like their last record a lot, Everything Now. Reflector was a bit of a disappointment for me, and mainly because James Murphy produced it from LCD Sound System, who's a fucking genius, and it's probably my least favorite so far, but Neon Bible grew on me too. So I guess it's kind of balanced, the fact that it's still heavily loaded with Suburbs and Funeral, but there's equal representation here.
I came out pretty balanced as well, to be honest. And I'm also throwing this out here. I do have 21 songs, but it's,
I do too.
But it's purposeful, because there's two songs that I'm throwing out as one, because I think they go together, and you guys will figure that one out when we get there. But I'm pretty balanced as well. What I found about Funeral was it works best as an album. What I loved about Arcade Fire is the dramatics. Like, this is, like, initially I thought, like, theatric, but then I was like, nah, that kind of, that's more like Alice Cooper's bag. Whereas there's just, like, I could hear this in like some dramas. Like, if I'm going to the movies, I could hear Arcade Fire as the soundtrack.
Very, very, very thematic. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It made me feel things, like, for songs that I had never heard before. I was without even diving into meaning, this was just the soundscapes were making me feel things. And then, like, I'm so glad that we pushed this back to 9 o'clock tonight, because I gave like a quick listen through to my 20 songs. And I had a song in here that I think I'm going to go with as number one, that the music is what got me initially. But then I was listening to what the lyrics were, and I was like, holy shit, this song's even better than I thought. So I'm surprised, I guess, that I hadn't really been familiar with this band. While this isn't necessarily a typical, in the vein of a Justin band, like your prototypical rock band, this definitely made me feel like Justin. Like, it was kind of like how a Smashing Pumpkins adored on crack, almost, you know, like, so I don't know what else to say about it other than the name of the game is Deprogrammed. The three of us have each gone through the Arcade Fire discography and picked out 20 songs that we're now going to mash against each other in an attempt to create a top 10 starter kit for Arcade Fire, that just in case you, the listener, have not listened to Arcade Fire like me. So I, like I said, I'm going to start right with the song that I was listening minutes before we started this call. And it's off Everything Now, which I love the dance element specifically in that record. Like, that's what got me with this song specifically, because, like, I was just grooving. I was like, man, this, I'm not a dancer, but this definitely made me want to dance. And then when I listened to it, Please Make Me Famous, but if not, then Make It Painless, I believe,
Creature
is the
Comfort.
One.
Yeah.
Creature Comfort is the song, mm-hmm, I'm going with.
I have it.
Yeah.
It's on my list, and I have a very depressing story about that song.
Oh, okay.
So July 9th, 2017 was going to be my last night on Earth.
Mm.
It was the last Gloom show I had on the books. They had just released that single, because it was before the album came out.
Oh.
And a friend of mine who's actually sitting in the living room with me as I'm telling the story,
no,
may have given me some certain psychedelic drugs. And I took those. And the show was over. And I listened to that song for 5 hours on repeat. And I think there's a lot of that subject in that song.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and for sure.
I'm definitely alive today because of that song.
That's first of all, wow, thank you for sharing. But what is it? There's a girl standing in the mirror waiting for some sort of reaction. And yeah, like, just really walking through somebody who is having those kind of feelings. And
yeah,
just Make Me Famous, like, just, yeah, kind of speaking to,
if,
like, Instagram,
if not,
models.
Just Make It Painless.
Absolutely. It's just outstanding. So we got one in, though.
Yeah, that's absolutely one of my favorite songs of all time.
Excellent pick.
I'm so glad I went back through it, because, again, yeah, like, it was the music initially, but the content is what brought it to that next level.
I mean, that, like, that drum beat when it kicks in is just, like, instantly, like, fuck.
Yeah.
Groovy, uh-huh, man.
Absolutely. Man. All right, so we will go to Sarah.
My number one, Sprawl 2, Home Suburb.
Yes.
Sprawl 2?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Yeah. That one, so that was the song. You, oh, know, that was the one that did it. I was at this concert and I was enjoying it and I liked the music, but that song picked me up and put me where I needed to be. And that is it, like, turned me on and it got me going, and it still has this thing where it just reaches into my heart and lifts me. And it still does it. It's been years, and it is always the top of my list.
All right.
It was an absolute not cut for me.
Yeah, for sure.
That's one of the ones that I was giving another listen just before, and it was somewhere down at the bottom of my list. And when I listened to it, I was like, oh, no, let's bump this up. If I had to rank them, it would have been somewhere around 4 or 5. So, yeah. All right, Brian?
All right, my number one with a bullet is the title track from The Suburbs, The Suburbs. That song, totally encapsulates what it's like to grow up as a child of divorce in the suburbs. Like, all the walls that we built in the 70s. I just forgot the line. That line to me means, like, the foundation that your parents built came crumbling down, right? So it's like, that's what it just spoke to me as, like, a child of divorce and, like, seeing the disillusionment of that kind of thing. And the line, like, I want to hold her hand and show her some beauty before the damage is done. Like, life's going to suck when you become an adult. So I just want to show you, like, some beauty now. Like, there's a lot of emotion in that song for me. So that's by far my favorite song of theirs.
Well, that's 3 straight unanimous.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to dip past my number 2 then and possibly rustle some feathers here, because this is the one we've already talked about it, but to me it encapsulates the dramatics, the penchant for drama here. Wake Up.
I didn't do it just because I had to cut something, and like I knew everybody knew that song, so
yeah, I listed it, but I struggled because I thought, is Brian gonna shame me?
I was gonna have it, and then you shamed me in our post about this. I was like, oh shit, she just called me out for quoting a single, so I'm not gonna do it now.
So. Yeah, I know. I wrestled with the hypocrisy of that, but it made my list, so it'll be discussion.
Word up, because it's just to me, it's you can't ignore that. So, like, the way it explodes,
it's a fantastic song.
And it's just, again, like it's that dramatic feeling, like it's almost theatrical. So, all right, 2 of us got it.
I heard a rumor one time, I don't know if it's true, it sounds like something they would do, where they tried to like copyright Whoa, like they called it the like Arcade Fire Whoa, and I'm just like, that's some pretentious shit, but they probably did do that.
Yeah,
it's like Paris Hilton copywriting That's Hot.
That's so hot. I love that explosion into the, because it's the riff is just so, and then it's like, okay, well, where are we going here? And then blam, whoa, oh, just great.
And like, I like how it when it starts, it sounds like it's coming in halfway through the riff, like it sounds incomplete at first, but then like, just that's why it works.
Yep. All right, Sarah?
So this was my last track on The Suburbs, Ready to Start.
Yep, got it.
Oh, apparently I don't. Nope. All right, let me move that over into the conversation. All right, Brian?
All right. So let's go. Probably it was my least favorite record, I think, for a while. And then I really went back and got into it after I was really thoroughly into The Suburbs. And I think I like this version better than the original version on their EP. And it's No Cars Go.
Yep.
I got it.
Oh, blam, right into there.
This is going to be a real short episode.
You know, we could agree on all 10 and still feel like we left something out.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. I'm going to throw this out here. I'm going to scroll down to the bottom. I'm going to start taking some bullets here. This is the one that I'm presenting as 2, because I listened to them separately and I was like, they just work better together. Infinite Content, Infinite Content.
Nope.
I do not have it.
Okay. I do just want to mention, I love the idea of infinite content, infinite content, infinite content. We're infinitely content. Just that idea alone was enough to bring me in. But then to completely slow it down and make it acoustic in infinite content or infinite. Yeah. Yeah. Infinite content. I was like, oh, man. And then I just like the wordplay there. Infinite. Infinite content.
It's something I would write in like a poem.
Right. So that's just, I don't know. There was a lot there that worked for me. So, all right. Like I said, I'm taking bullets here. I'm with it.
There are no wrong answers here, my friend.
All right, Sarah?
Let's go with Rebellion on Funeral, the Funeral album.
Absolutely.
No. Nope.
All right, well, that's a wrong answer. I stand corrected.
Again, it's that live element from seeing them live. It was their closer, pre-encore close, last song. And
it was when I saw them in the Reflector Tour too.
Yeah, it's just healing. Whenever I hear it, I feel energized and healed. So
I think that's the.
Justin, you're wrong.
I think that's the word I'm missing here is like listening to Arcade Fire. As intricate as the music is, it feels like a live concert when I'm listening. That's why I like to Wake Up so much. It feels like a live experience. I think that may be the one thing that's missing from my experience listening to this is actually seeing them live to be able to feel what the energy that they're putting off. So
they are absolutely amazing live.
Yeah, they really are.
All right, Brian.
Okay. I will do a song from the album that I saw them live on. Again, this goes back to another very depressing suicide story. I went and saw Arcade Fire for the first time with Phil and his wife, Whitney. They weren't married at the time. And at the time, my best friend. And this was like, I think I had just kind of finally like talked like publicly for the first time about being depressed my whole life and trying to kill myself and this is right before I started doing stand up and kind of turned my life around. So I go to the show with my best friends and on the tour for this album. And it was until I saw Radiohead these last two nights in a row in Philly last year. It was the greatest show I'd ever seen. And I've seen a lot of fucking great shows. But this is the best song from that record. And I remember holding Phil's hand and just dancing with him in the crowd. And it was like the most happy tears I think I've ever cried. Here Comes the Nighttime.
Yes.
That's the best song.
Oh,
I've
yeah, I've got period. It too.
Oh, God.
Totally. I definitely agree.
I'm so glad for many reasons. Number one, it's a great song. But I was like, if he gives us all that... And then we're both like, nah.
It's a song nobody has.
I would have been really sad.
I was just going to lie. Like, I was just going to give that to you. That would be my gift to you. I was just going to be like, yep, totally, 100%, I am with you. But I actually do have it on my list.
Oh, jeez.
I think that's why women date me, because I talk about killing myself. I was like, oh, shit, I can't leave.
Oh, no.
In my notes for this, I have the lyrics. But if there's no music up in heaven, then what's it for? And I was like, right? Mm. Yeah.
Wow. God, I really wish I could have given, like, I mean, again, I'm glad I was able to give, that last listen before we did this, but I wish I could have had one more go around, like, so I could pick up all these lyrics. All right. Where do I want to go here?
Justin, there's not enough time left in this quarantine for you to pick up on all the lyrics. Fair. For Arcade Fire. That's... Like, there's just so much.
That's true.
I mean, it's all poetry. And then once you start to consider how they all connect, and you're like 4 minutes into the next song, and you're still chewing on the last song, and then you have to rewind it and make sure. But then you have to listen to the whole thing because they go together. Yeah, there's not enough time.
You know what? I'm going to go here. Neighborhood number one, Tunnels.
Absolutely, yeah. That's in my top three for sure.
I don't have that for some reason.
All right. There's going to be some misses, but it's still conversation. That's okay. All right.
And then I dig a tunnel from my window to yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. All right, Sarah.
Put your money on me. Everything now.
No, that was a cut for me.
No, apparently not. No.
Not won't.
I love that record.
I think I cut more from that record only because I wasn't going to cut the Suburbs anymore.
All right, Brian.
All right. Might be a miss. I don't care. I couldn't cut it. My Body is a Cage. Neon Bible.
I do not have it.
Let me make sure. Nope. Not I. All right. Let's stay on that album. There was occasional times where they write stuff that comes off as straightforward. And if you're trying to loop somebody in, you might want something a little straightforward. So I got Antichrist Television Blues.
That was a hard cut for me.
Yeah, so close, but it didn't make it for me either.
And again, I wrestled with it because technically speaking, it doesn't fit in with everything else we're trying to frame here with them. But like I said,
yeah, I felt that way. Like I chose My Body is a Cage over that song.
Oh, so we were back to back on that.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah.
We were on Neon Bible, right?
Yes.
I'll say Windowsill.
Oh, nope.
Wait, which one?
Windowsill.
Mm-mm. All right, we're at...
Ooh, we were starting so strong, fellas.
We were at...
It was bound to happen.
Yep, we're at that part of the show.
Yeah.
All right, Brian?
All right. I'll just stay on that record, too, whatever. I love the complete tone shift of this song to the point where I can't not have it on here because I think I like the second half of the song even better. The Well and the Lighthouse.
Yeah, I got it.
I do too.
Oh, awesome. And
we're back.
And we're officially out of NTP too. So
I wasn't expecting us to use that on this one.
Officially official. All right. You know what? Now that we're out of NTP, I'm going to keep taking the wild swings here. How about Month of May?
Thought about it, but no.
Yeah, not for me.
Again, that one's more straightforward rock and roll. All right. Sarah.
Good Goddamn on Everything Now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Okay, we got
no.
It was hard for me to cut some of those songs. I just realized I didn't put one on there now, and I'm just like, why didn't I do that?
Good Goddamn.
That was a return to form for them because Reflector was a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah,
but
it grooves, and I mean, much in the same. It's weird because Creature Comfort has this one groove, but Good Goddamn has another groove.
Yeah,
and the fact that they're married and you can tell that they're in the same family, but like, it's, I don't know, man. Like I just love that they offer two different versions of groove on the same record. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a lyrics person and the duality, you know, between like hope and condemnation. And it was awesome.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Brian.
I guess I'll close out Neon Bible. Keep the Car Running.
No.
Yeah, I had it.
All right. Into the convo it goes. Yep. And we officially have a conversation now, too. We've got more cuts we're going to have to make. So. All right. Let me go back to Funeral. Neighborhood number 3, Power Out.
Yep.
Did not have it.
All right. Two of us. All right. Sarah?
I think that the Neighborhood series were a little wearing after a while.
Okay.
I don't know. I just felt like I chewed on them for too long.
That's fair.
I could have put them all on here, I think, but I didn't.
Really? Yeah, I think maybe part of it was that I couldn't separate them, and I wasn't willing to put, like, take that section of my list. You know what I mean? For whatever reason, they just seemed like they needed to stay together. So let's go with We Don't Deserve Love on Everything Now.
Got it.
Me too. Yep. Wow. 7. Okay. I still have 6 to play.
I have... three, four, five, six, seven, eight left.
I have 1, 2, 3, 6.
All right. Okay. So, so We Don't Deserve Love with Sarah. All right, Brian.
This will probably miss, and if it does, I hate you all very much.
Jesus.
It is a B-side. Oh, it's not a B-side. It's on the expanded edition of The Suburbs. It's Speaking in Tongues, and it features David Byrne, and that's why I have this fucking song on here, because it's named after a Talking Heads album, and also features David Byrne on it. And the thing about Arcade Fire, and there's a song that features David Bowie that I'll get to later, they take these fucking legends that I love and reserve them for background vocals, and I think that's such a ballsy fucking move to do. It's like South Park getting George Clooney to voice a dog. Like, it's just fucking ballsy, man. I love it.
Well, now I feel bad for not having it.
You should listen to it.
Yeah.
It is great.
Brian, can I ask you something? I probably should have done this research myself, and I could probably do it right now. Did they do anything with Brian Ferry? Because I kept thinking about Roxy Music, as I was absorbing the whole discography.
Not that I know of, no. It wouldn't surprise me.
It felt like there was definitely some Roxy Music influence here and there.
Yes.
I kept thinking about it, and it made me go listen to some Roxy Music just out of the blue, you know. So
the song you last played, We Don't Deserve Love, could fit perfectly with Slave to Love from Brian Ferry. So yeah, there's a lot of similarities there. I mean, they like all the music I like, and I think that's why I didn't get into them for a while, because I was like, man, fuck these guys, they're better than me. But
All right. Let me trot some of this reflector out. I don't have a lot from it, but how about We Exist?
That was a hard cut for me because that song's about gay rights, and I really wanted to have it just for that reason, but I just couldn't.
Yeah, I didn't make my list either.
All on my own, okay? Standing up for the community over here. All right.
It was... fuck off.
Bad person.
All right, Sarah.
You already know on Reflector.
I think we're all gonna have different stuff from Reflector.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm about to say another one.
Go for it, Brian.
Afterlife.
Nope.
No. <Mm-mm.
laughs> That song's just about fighting until you can't fight anymore and getting all out and I just like it. It's a very relatable song. I think it's probably written about their marriage, but
I think we're gonna end up playing all of that album, but only have one or two matches. All right. Let me come back to Neon Bible. Black Mirror.
I wanted to.
Okay.
No.
Now this is the perfect time for Mrs., so I'm okay with it. All right, Sarah.
Katie on Funeral?
Nope.
What song?
Katie?
No, I wasn't. I hated all the cuts I had to make. Awful.
Yeah.
All right, Brian?
In the Back Seat from Funeral.
Nope.
Yeah.
Just the line alone, my family tree is losing all its leaves, is a very fucking deep line. I really enjoy it.
I had lyrics marked on that song too.
Yeah.
I like the piece in the back seat. I don't have to drive. I don't have to speak. I can just watch the countryside.
Mm. Yeah.
Very good at setting tones and putting you where they want you to be. setting the scene is the words that Justin was stumbling around for. All right. I'm going to blast these last four out just to see if I hit you guys at all with it. All right. Okay. I got Intervention.
No. All
right. Modern Man.
That was a really fucking hard cut for me.
Yeah, that one just like squeaked out. No, no Modern Man.
All right. And then my last two, Normal Person. Off Reflector.
No.
And I think the one that made it for name alone, Porno.
No.
No.
All right.
That's an odd pick. Respectable, but odd.
All right. Do you want to blast what you got out? What you got left, Sarah?
I've got two left. I've got the title track on Neon Bible.
Nope, don't have it.
All right.
And Chemistry on Everything Now.
Right. And
all right. Yeah. I'll throw all mine out. I have the title track from Everything Now, Everything Now. I have Crown of Love. I have, because I live in Ghent, Rococo, which song's about.
That one, I wrestled with that one.
It's just mocking hipsters, which I love.
I know. I love that too.
I don't think we said this one. Did we say we used to wait?
No.
No.
Great song.
All right. So, what is that? Seven that we got through? Hold on, let me. Seven. All right. So far, Creature Comfort, Sprawl 2, The Suburbs, No Cars Go, Here Comes the Nighttime, The Well and the Lighthouse, and We Don't Deserve Love. So those are the seven that we're starting with.
So we have to have something from Funeral, because is there any of those so far?
Nothing. Nope. Nothing all the way through. So let's start with that. Let me get all the Funeral songs in the same place. I think we just weren't able to agree, all three of us, on Funeral. All right, so we have Wake Up, Rebellion, Neighborhood Number 1, In the Backseat, and Neighborhood Number 3. So, I mean, I'm looking at Rebellion just because...
I want Tunnels and Rebellion.
All right, so I'm with it. I was the holdout on Rebellion. So let's put that through. Do you have anything you're strong about there, Sarah?
What was the one you wanted, Brian? Tunnels?
Yeah, Neighborhood One.
Oh, it's tough for me to, between that and Wake Up, it's hard, you know.
I'm fine with Wake Up going on the list.
I feel like I would be, I wouldn't want to like trade that one for Wake Up.
All right, so let's do this. Let's keep Wake Up in Neighborhood Number One. Let's lose Neighborhood Number Three. Let's lose In the Backseat.
Yeah, so, we can lose In the Backseat. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
So we have eight that we need two from. So we'll put Wake Up in Neighborhood Number One in contention. We've got Wake Up, Neighborhood Number One, Ready to Start, Good Goddamn, and Keep the Car Running. Now, if you're interested in keeping this even, actually, shoot, we have two of everything except Funeral and Reflector.
Even, like, I'm fine with having those two go through and that being the list, because we have to have Funeral equally represented on this, for sure.
So I agree with that.
Yeah, let's do Wake Up, and let's do Tunnels.
Do it. Let me do it.
Yep.
All right, and lose Ready to Start, Good Goddamn, Keep the Car Running. If you're playing at home, collect.
Go listen to all those songs anyway.
Yeah, you should, for sure.
So let's twist the knife here, Sarah.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
You have one song to get somebody into Arcade Fire. And that person just so happens to be Alfredo Torres.
Come on, dudes, pick me a winner.
What's the one song going to be? The number one with a bullet.
For Alfredo Torres?
Technically speaking, but
does it have to be on our list? Our agreed list?
Yes, it has to be one of these 10.
I don't think there's any songs that sound like Kiss on this list. It's going to be hard.
Let's go with creature comfort, I Oof. Think, for that.
I look, after listening to it just before we went in, having coming out with that, and then Brian having the story about it, thinking about that song, that's where I was leaning. What are you thinking, Brian?
It's either that or the Suburbs for me. So let's go.
Suburbs paint such a strong picture, but I feel for this particular audience, Creature Comfort might hit a little harder.
If we're doing it for choice, yes. I think the Suburbs is the quintessential Arcade Fire song, though. I think it encapsulates mm-hmm. everything they do as songwriters and musicians. But Creature Comfort is a fucking banger for life. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, so I think we're in agreement here. Creature Comfort is our number one with a bullet. The Suburbs, Sprawl 2, No Cars Go, Here Comes the Nighttime, The Well in the Lighthouse, We Don't Deserve Love, Rebellion, Wake Up, and Tunnels. That's a solid 10, and if you're not into Arcade Fire after that, I don't know, man. Maybe listen again. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, I need to talk to somebody. If those 10 songs don't get you going, there's maybe some sort of medication adjustment that's needed.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I feel like you have to be in therapy to like Arcade Fire, but if you don't like them, you should also be in therapy. So it's a weird, it's a great conundrum.
So let's talk about,
maybe we should just all be in therapy anyway.
Dude, you know, some of the things that have happened in the last, let's say, 20 years, we probably all should be and probably could benefit from being in therapy.
Look, things that happened in the last 20 days.
Yes.
Seriously, March feels like 16 years ago. I feel like time is relative, and we're all just trying to make it. So, just, you know what? Everybody talk to somebody.
Talk to somebody. Seriously. And that is seriously, talk to somebody. And if it needs to be me, I'm here for yous. All right. So let's talk about the next time you guys are going to be here. Brian is going to be here relatively soon for Interpol. We just put that panel together, and it's probably going to get turned around real fast.
There's another one of those bands that, like, just like Arcade Fire, I was like, I don't like these modern bands. And I was like, I really liked Joy Division the first time. And then I got really into them, and they're fucking great. So,
but Sarah has put up a couple bit, like, I put up jokingly halfway TLC, and Sarah was like, no, I want to do TLC, and nobody's jumped on that. I don't understand. So let's make a case real quick, because I'd love to discuss TLC relatively soon.
I could do TLC. Everyone I knew had Crazy Sexy Cool.
It's so good.
Yeah. TLC, and the thing about TLC is that it'll never happen again.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a tragedy in 90s hip hop, but it was, they were so prolific and great, and everything on Crazy Sexy Cool was awesome. Like,
yes.
It was like my reading YM magazine by the pool with my Discman. Like, that was the jam. And yeah, totally.
There was like three records that everybody had, or four records everyone had when I was growing up. It was like Melancholy and Infinite Sadness. It was Astro Creep 3000 from White Zombie, Tragic Kingdom from No Doubt, mm-hmm. and Crazy Sexy Cool.
Yeah. Those first two TLC records are just, they're out. They're really, really good, really, really fun. So if you're serious, Brian, I'll put you on the panel and we'll
do it, man. I'd love to talk about TLC.
We'll get that moving. But it's sometimes there's bands on that go on the list that it's just a crying shame that it's like, why won't somebody jump on this? So, all right. I made the case, and hopefully we'll get you two back here to do TLC relatively soon. With that, though, we're going to take it on out of here. Arcade Fire, learn them and love them, people. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.